I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I want to ask you this, Mark, when we're starting to get closer to game time, and for me, it's an easy question, and you can join us at 888-957-9570. Who's your starter? Who's your fifth starter? Steph, Draymond, Pods, and Jimmy. Okay, those four are taken. So if you want to call in and offer up your fifth, those four are already taken. Do you go GP2?
It's a great question.
Sturdy defense, thank you, and corner threes. Do you go with Quentin Post and hope that he can guard a little and knock down a three? Do you go with Buddy, who started the last couple, and hope that Buddy can catch lightning in a bottle? Do you go completely off the board and go with Jonathan Kuminga? I don't think you do. I'm just saying.
I'm mad at you for even bringing that up, actually.
Well, it had to happen. Kerr opened up the door.
He did.
And let him in.
Well,
who's your fifth?
Not to start.
You're right. Who's your fifth? Moses Moody would be the other one. I didn't want to leave Moses out.
And you shouldn't, because it actually would be my answer. I would go with Moses Moody. I'm not going to be mad if it's Buddy Hield, because there's a little bit of a feel of like, hey, he's been playing pretty well the last three games. That's who you most recently started. It went well in the end for game four. And don't forget, when you look at the starters, that's who really played the best in game four, because they started both of those halves on unbelievable heaters. They played so well at the start of the first quarter, so well at the start of the third quarter. Well, those were the starters, and that was Buddy Hield. So I'd be tempted to go that route. I would guess it would go that route. But by my thinking, which who cares, I'm not Steve Kerr, I don't want to double down that Buddy Hield is going to, quote, set the tone defensively again. I love Moses Moody's defense. I'm going to hope that the shots he hit in garbage time two nights ago helped him find his shot. I also love Buddy coming off the bench because he's energy. He's energy, and he's a more consistent three-point shooter than Moody, and so I kind of like him in that second unit. That's what I would do, but that's not what I'm guessing Steve is going to do.
What do you guess that he does?
I think he sticks with Buddy Hield.
Interesting.
I think he sticks with Buddy Hield because that's what they've been doing the last couple games, and again, in game four, it worked really, really well.
But then I look at the starting lineup that's been the most successful on the year, and it's the one that has Moses
yep.
in there. And that's a lineup that, they win their first 14 or 15 games when they were all together. So I think about that part of it where, Moses has been a part of the successful group. And I do think that what he did in, I guess it was garbage time. It was comeback city. They didn't make it all the way back, but Moses actually might have rediscovered
maybe
his stroke and his game. So I would lean Moses's direction, and I think that Steve goes back to Moses.
Interesting. Okay, we did ask Steve yesterday about the starting lineup and asked if Buddy Hield is going to start again, and here's what Steve said to us yesterday.
All options are on the table for sure, and I think we will consider everything. There's always an offense defense component to any of these decisions that you make, and as I said, lineup combinations, what's coming behind the play, behind the first rotation, who's playing together. So we're leaving our options open.
And when you asked him about Jonathan Kuminga, like a jerk, here's what he said.
Yeah, he's feeling a lot better. I talked to him today, and so he should be ready to go tomorrow. And there's absolutely a chance for him to make an impact, you know, tomorrow. I thought he did a good job. The game he started, I think it was game three when Jimmy was out, he did a really nice job guarding Jalen Green early. Clearly, we can use, you know, his athleticism, you know, his ability to get to the rim. Again, it's all lineup combinations. And what makes this tricky, as I've said many times to you guys and to others, it's all about the combinations. And you know, we've got to find the right balance of shooting and playmaking around Jimmy. And that's what changed, you know, the calculus for JK. And so those are the things we're continuing to weigh. But he's absolutely, you know, part of, you know, our thinking in terms of, you know, possible adjustments for tomorrow.
Well, and I don't see what they've done in the past with Jonathan changing. What I take from that answer is a little bit less about Jonathan and his chances of playing tonight. It's a little bit more of Steve Kerr, I think, saying we might coach this not like a game seven,
right,
but something that's related to a game seven.
Agreed.
Yeah,
and that's why I think that Jonathan Kuminga has a role tonight of maybe it's 2 or 3 minutes, maybe it's 4 to 6 of get in there and, you know, make something happen. Mm-hmm. Attack the basket, get to the foul line, play a couple of great possessions on defense, snatch a rebound, get a steal, whatever it is. I do think that he has a chance to get in there and make that sort of an imprint. I do know that when he played in game three, they won the game 1-0 in the playoffs with JK in the lineup. And, you know, Steve was a little bit more bullish on how JK played than you certainly were. I'm not trying to put you into a spot.
No, I split it. I thought he was actually good defensively. I thought he was incredibly disappointing on the offensive side of the ball. That's how I felt about his performance that night.
Yeah, and the team in totality, it was a lot of Steph Curry and not
right.
a lot of,
and
the others.
And on a night when Jimmy Butler's not there, if you're going to be his basically starting lineup sub and you're Jonathan Kuminga, who, you know, has the ability to score more than 20 in a night, for him to only get 17 minutes in the game tells me that not only did I think Jonathan was disappointing on the offensive side of the ball, I don't think he did much on the court that made the coaching staff want to keep him in there.
The other stuff, which is what we've all been clamoring for, and I'm looking at the box here, and he had 2 assists and 1 rebound in 17 minutes.
The
intangibles, the other things that, you know, you need him to do, he didn't do. And I am kind of just fixated on the lineup that we saw throughout the tail end of the year, which is Butler, Green, Curry, Pods, and Moody, 17-4 when that group starts. So did Moses do enough in game five to earn his way back in? Because
maybe,
you know, Steve's big on analytics, right? And Steve,
for sure.
And Steve knows that that lineup was 16-3 in the regular year, 1-1 in the playoffs. And so that's a lineup that has been successful. And if Moses plays like he did in game five, and it's easier to play great when you're down 30.
And playing against bad players.
True. I'm
sorry, bench players.
No, you're right.
I don't want to call them bad.
No, they're Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
You can call them bad.
No, I mean,
but,
you know,
I mean, they're pro players.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're in the NBA.
Certainly.
You get what I'm saying.
I do. And I also think that, you know, the way he played and he got a little bit of confidence back might get him back in the lineup.
No doubt. All right, let's go out to you, 888-957-9570. We want to take your calls in this entire 4 o'clock hour, and then Warriors Live starts at 5. Let's go to Clint in Campbell. Hi, Clint. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I just wanted to talk about rebounding, man. I was at game four, and I saw Jimmy get that final rebound. I was like, this is a key right here, because I know we can get stops, and I know we got enough greatness on the team to, you know, to win this game. And shots are going to come, but the main thing, I think, is the guards have to gang rebound, and the whole team has to just focus on it. And I think if we start Quinn Post, he could get us a lot of rebounds. That was also a huge key for us to winning that game. So that's all I got, man, rebounding.
Yeah, Clint, I hear you, and here's sort of what I've prepared myself for, because the Warriors have won more games in this series than the Rockets, and they've been out-rebounded every time. So I'm sort of preparing for that to be baked into this cake. I don't mean overwhelmingly out-rebounded. I just think you have to get the rebounds that you're supposed to get. The Rockets are a phenomenal offensive rebounding team. They're going to get some. You have to keep defending well and stopping them from getting great shots. They're going to get a second look every now and again. They may even get a third look here and there. But the Warriors, to me, rebounding, it matters. Turnovers decide the game. Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
It's the possession game for me. It's the combination of the two. And I go back to game three where you didn't have Jimmy Butler and you lost the rebound battle by five, but you won the overall possession game. You shot the ball four more times than the Rockets did. And the Rockets shot 39.5%, which is a little worse than normal, but that's more like what the Rockets are. So if the Rockets play the way the Rockets do, which is 45% from the floor, 36% from three, if you don't give them 10 extra shots, you're going to win the game.
No doubt. And actually, Grandy lets us know that technically the Warriors out-rebounded the Rockets in the last game, which I actually think ends up furthering my point. I don't really count the last game because it just ended up so out of pocket in the second half with a bunch of people on the floor that aren't even really getting minutes for either of these teams. But if that's truly the case, Warriors out-rebound the Rockets in game five, they lose. Rockets out-rebound the Warriors in games 1, 2, 3, 4, and they lose three of those four. So the leading rebounding team has won one game so far in this series. So I'm not blocking the point by Clinton. Obviously, all aspects of the game are important. I just don't think the way that this has gone, I don't think that rebounding is the deciding factor in this game. It's baked into the cake.
Yeah.
The Rockets are taller. The Warriors need to take care of the basketball.
Well, and they had 10 turnovers in game five. And in that first half, the Warriors actually shot it nine more times than Houston, but Houston only missed nine shots.
Yeah.
Houston was 25 of 36, so
you're not getting any offensive rebounds if they all go through the hoop.
Correct. They had one offensive rebound.
Yeah.
Of the nine misses they had, Houston only got one of those rebounds. So that's kind of why the rebounding battle was a bit skewed, because there were no rebounds to be had when Houston was shooting the basketball.
Let's go to Tom in Mill Valley. He's next up. Hey, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks. I hear what you're saying about rebounding, but I'm actually going to double down on this point because I was at game four as well. And I saw that we didn't win rebounding, and watching the bench and watching Kevon Looney on the bench, smiling with all his teammates, Draymond and Steph, you just saw over the years that Kevon Looney has been so key to these clutch rebounds, just like Jimmy led to a clutch rebound. I just see I see Loon playing a key role, getting one of those key rebounds, kicking it off to number 30 on the perimeter, and Chase Center going wild.
Would love to see it, Tom. I will say, so far in this series, this is not really about rebounding. It's more about defending. Kevon has not been great in this series. He is really struggling with the athleticism inside of the Rockets. Kevon is a big guy. He's a smart player. He's a very heady rebounder, and that's great. But when you're throwing 22-year-old Sky Flyers at him like Amen Thompson, even Şengün to a degree, Kevon has had a really hard time defending those guys in this series. I think it's why his minutes have been down.
Yeah, and I think that matchup-wise, this is not a good one for him. And not to get too far down the road, but Minnesota would be a tough one as well, because Kevon is a 6'9" center and he doesn't have elite mobility, and to get rebounds he's got to work extra hard. And this is a Houston team that Steven Adams is getting just about every rebound he wants, and Şengün is rebounding, and then you get other guys on the Rockets who have athleticism. So matchup-wise, I don't know if this is a great series for Kevon.
Taking your calls throughout the 4 o'clock hour, 888-957-9570. Warriors Live is in 40 minutes. Get your butt to the arena early. If you are on your way here with tickets, the game starts at 6. The Warriors want you in your seat at least 10 minutes before that, ready to make some noise. and welcome this game into the arena the way it deserves. Mark in Berkeley is next up on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Mark. What's up?
I just got a wild idea. How do you
what is
this?
It?
Steph at the one, Buckets at the two, Draymond at the three, Kuminga at the four, and Davis Jr. At the five. Just to see what happens.
Well, okay, Mark. Oh man, what like?
Get me Steve Kerr.
I love everybody who listens to this show, but that is not a wild idea. That is a bad idea, and here's why, Mark. I understand where you're coming from an emotional standpoint. In terms of, at least I'm thinking what you're thinking is. Let's get the most athletic team possible on the floor, especially in the front court. And I get it. But what you just put out there on the basketball court in 2025 is a five-man lineup that has one three-point shooter. Can't do it. Can't do it. Mike Singletary can't do it. You will lose. The analytics are so overwhelming, as Steve Kerr has detailed, that Kuminga with Draymond and Jimmy on the floor together has been a very big net negative for the Warriors. And you're then putting that lineup on the floor and adding Trayce Jackson-Davis to it. Mm. Your spacing would be terrible. The Rockets would clog the middle. Nobody would have anywhere to go. I think that team would get run off the floor.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's a tough thing because you want size because you're losing the rebound battle, but we have to also remember what happens on the other side, which is you're small and their bigs can't guard you. And that's where Jimmy Butler, if you've got shooters around Jimmy Butler, then they have to go out there and honor those shooters. And Jimmy Butler has room to work in the middle of the court. And that's what the Warriors really want. They want to be able to spread it with shooters and also have Jimmy be able to cook in the key because you can't clog it because you can't slough off of Steph or Quentin Post or Pods, certainly. So you can't play too many of these non-shooters, you're right.
Yeah, I get it. I really do. When you watch basketball, you fall for certain players, and you like those players, and you want them to succeed, and you want to try something new because the last time we watched the Warriors, whatever they were doing did not work. But the bottom line is this, not only when we talk about the offensive side of the ball, like think about what's happening now on the other side of the ball. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I don't think is a great defender. Jonathan Kuminga is a capable defender and a very good one sometimes, but is inconsistent. Like, I don't think you're helping yourself with that lineup on the other side of the floor either.
Right.
And so I get it. Root for all the players that you want. But this, as Steve calls it, a puzzle. The puzzle pieces have to fit, and a couple of those guys have shown that they don't fit. Not
right.
Currently what the Warriors are doing.
And
least.
I can't wait to watch and wonder about how Steve treats the rotation, because we've seen Houston in the series play only eight guys for the majority of these games. They've gone to a three-man bench, and that's it. Steve Kerr has played more guys off the bench, but you said it before, does he approach this like a game seven where you really shorten that bench down? And if you do,
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerd Cheers.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Kevon Looney is one of the guys who probably loses minutes. You're going to play Buddy Hield off the bench, especially the way he's been shooting. You're going to play Quentin Post because he gives you that stretch five ability. And you're going to play GP2 if Moses Moody starts. Beyond that, I don't know how many other minutes there are going to be for other guys.
Yeah, this sucker, I think, is going to get squeezed.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a squeeze night. This might be an 8-man rotation night, maybe 9. Like, I think about it, Hield is getting in this game. GP2 is getting in this game. I think Quentin Post is getting in this game. And I do think that there will be at least a look for Kevon Looney. But I'm not 100% sure how much further down those seats there in the corner of the floor. I'm not sure how much further down it goes. I'm really not. This is not a game 7. But there will be shades of it in the way it is coached, I believe. The Warriors have got to win this game.
Absolutely.
They've got to win this game.
One, you look at Jimmy Butler and his career in these types of games, he tends to play 42 to 48 minutes. So Jimmy Butler, and Steve Kerr joined us yesterday and talked about how he feels good. I mean, you were there, so it's a double whoop apparently, but he didn't join me. But Steve Kerr told me Jimmy Butler is fine. And if Jimmy Butler is fine and it's a big game, and it is, Jimmy Butler's going to play 44 minutes. And
we went up to 44?
Well, I put the over-under at 42.
Okay.
And I would take the over on 42 if you want me to set it at 42.
Damn, you've got him sitting out for 4 minutes tonight? I'm going under 44 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, 42?
I like 40. I like 40, but four-minute break, like 2 minutes per half, that's – the guy is probably still in some pain, don't you think?
Well, I mean, who isn't?
Yeah. You know? I mean –
I don't think that he's in more pain than he was on Wednesday. He's probably in less pain. He didn't even play that much on Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
he did get some rest.
And I think that because they all got rest, and you're not going to play Steph Curry 40 minutes because you don't ever do that. He's about a 36. Draymond's about the same. So then you get into, and Pod's quietly has been playing about 35 in this game.
Sure.
If you want to start to slice the pie, those four have pretty big pieces. So the other four guys who you're going to play, four or five, you're getting slivered.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.